What?
You can't be serious, Becky, Philip Beaumont said, in a voice that sounded closer to a petulant 6-year-old's than that of a grown man. I've only been parked here 5 minutes tops. The bespectacled man thrust his milk gallon and bag of groceries out as evidence. Don't much matter, Monty. You can't be breaking laws in my town, especially not those regarding the less fortunate. Monty's arms fell slack, the heavily weighted plastic bag nearly scraping against the parking lot pavement. His head tilted back and his mouth fell agape, emitting a sound like a wounded moose. Becky, there hasn't been a handicapped person in refuge since Bill McGill kicked the bucket 5 years ago. Law's the law, Monty. We're going to be swimming and vacationing massholes in New York Yankees for the next 3 months. If I go soft now, we're going to have to rename the town Bedlam come the end of summer. Sheriff Rebecca Rule ripped off the ticket stub and held it out. And it's Sheriff while I'm wearing the hat, okay? Monty took the ticket, slid it into his grocery bag, and with an exaggerated sigh said, See you at the Ashland fireworks? If I were going to the fireworks, I'd be on my way already. Rule turned her eyes to the dark blue sky. Gonna be dark inside of 15 minutes. Besides, you can see him fine from right here in town. Main Street arched over the top of a tall hill. From the center of town, in front of the First Baptist Church and Memorial Park across the street, the view stretched out for miles to the north and south. And from the rooftops of the few 3-story storefronts on either side of the street, you could look over the surrounding pine forest to the west and catch a glimpse of the White Mountains on a clear day, which was most days in refuge. The easterly view was mostly blocked by Black Job Hill, the tallest spot in town with clear views in every direction, upon which sat a single home belonging to Winslow and Carol Herman. Monty glanced at the sky. Shit, I still have to pick up Susie and the girls. He flung open the door to his black pickup truck, climbed in, and slammed it closed. The giant beast of a vehicle roared to life, and Monty gave it 2 enthusiastic revs. Rule tapped the window twice with her knuckles. As the glass descended, Rule placed her elbow on the door. I give speeding tickets, too. I don't want to hear any squealing tires. Monty grinned. Now, come on, we all know which one of us is the better driver. Rule stepped back and gave a nod. We also know which one of us carries a badge and a gun. With a grin and a casual salute, Monty said, See you in church, Beck, Sheriff. Rule gave a wave as Monty sped off. The man has a boulder for a brain, she thought, looking at the empty lot. 30 spaces, ripe for the picking, and he took the one handicap spot. He was right, though. There weren't any year-round handicap residents in refuge, but with the 4th of July being tomorrow, she didn't want to risk one of the old rich people with fancy homes around Newton Lake having a hissy fit when their blue placard, bestowed upon them by the good Lord himself, failed to procure prime parking. With a lot to Susie's Market now empty, Rule wandered toward the sidewalk. Main Street was mostly empty, too, except down by the bar. There were cars there all year long, at all hours, and in nearly all weather. Only a blizzard could empty the bar, and not because the boys couldn't get there, they all had plows. But it was those same plows that made them extra money come winter, and they got their plowing done before their drinking. Most knew well enough not to drink and drive in refuge, not since what happened to Bernie. Rule didn't normally walk the streets looking to give parking tickets. That typically fell under the purview of Deputy Jim Sweeney and Deputy Helena Frost. But Sweeney was in Ashland for the fireworks with most of the rest of Refuge's 1,500 residents, and Frost was, well, she was confined to the office, at least for the night, on account of punching Casey Parks square in the nose. Granted, the 17-year-old deserved as much for pummeling 14-year-old John Beeman, but she should have shouted, Stop police, before hauling off and clocking him in front of 16 people. The walk will do me good anyway, she thought, purposely putting a little spring in her step. She'd put on a few pounds in the past few years, and her uniform fit a little too tightly to be decent for a 53-year-old woman, in her opinion, anyway. She wasn't exactly a hot ticket, but in the North Woods of New Hampshire, where the competition sometimes looked like those late 1800s photos of scowling farm matrons, being a flawed woman wasn't always a problem.